Welcome to the Closet Mastery Course, creating a magical space where children love to learn. You are listening to Lesson 3, The 5 Rules of Engagement. Rule 3 through 5. Keep it special. Keep it simple and regular planning. Your presenter is Marianne Johnson.
In this lesson, you will learn how to keep the excitement of the closet alive, how to keep the closet manageable, and how to maintain its long-term effectiveness with regular planning. So let's talk about Rule 3, make it special. The closet is only available during structured family learning time. In the book Leadership Education, The Phases, Rachel DeMille suggests that the closet have a lock. That has stopped many a parent from moving forward. A lock facilitates keeping the closet contents away from children, except for when you make it available during structured family learning time. That is ideal. However, you don't have to have a lock to have a closet. Any 5-year-old can learn to mind. Also, children are smart and understand the make it special idea much more quickly than most adults. Once they experience the fun of having this special place to go to only at certain times, they want that feeling. Adults are the ones most tempted to break this rule. I have never had to argue with a child about why the closet is only for a certain time, but I have often needed to have that conversation with their parents. So what are the temptations parents feel when faced with keeping the closet only for structured family learning time? Jen was used to using her unofficial closet space to keep her children busy while she prepared dinner. When she had put her closet together and saw how much her children loved using it, she wanted to use it at dinner time. I had to convince her to use other resources at her disposal rather than the closet. Some parents want to use it when their kids are bored and begging. Children, even though they love the excitement of having the closet special, will occasionally ask to use it when they are bored. Parents often give in to the begging. I tell parents, when they beg to use the closet and it isn't structured family learning time, say, "Gee, aren't you so glad we have structured family learning time again tomorrow?" Or, "Wow, Monday is a ways off, but it's going to be so fun to have structured family learning time again and use the closet." Then do not give in. Sometimes a child is really into a project and wants to keep going. The rationale is that we shouldn't interrupt learning. We should just let them keep going. Let me tell you about an interview I had with a 12-year-old whose family I was working with. I asked her what she liked best about the closet, and she replied, "Well, when you are working on a cool project and you have to stop, you are so excited about getting back to it the next day." This is from the mouth of a 12-year-old. She gets it. Let me interject a caveat here. You have a set time for structured family learning time. For the most part, you will end on time because often there is something else coming up, like a music lesson, club meeting, or even lunch. Sometimes, though, if there is no reason you have to stop and everyone really loves what they are doing, you can opt to just keep going as a family. But when the majority of the family is done, everyone is done, and the closet is put away. Parents often ask the question, "Well, what are kids supposed to do if everything is in the closet?" Everything isn't in the closet. Most children have a bedroom full of stuff, books, toys, games, and gadgets. Some families have a family room full of stuff, books, toys, games, and gadgets. There are other places where toys and supplies are located in every home. In my home, I have a closet with cubbies. In them are craft supplies, bubble blowing materials, paint, and so forth. My grandchildren are free to use these supplies in the kitchen, at the table, anytime, if they ask. I also have a coat closet with bins on the floor. There are games, toys, color books, and so forth. This is free play stuff. You don't even have to ask to use it. You just have to put it away when you're done. Then I have our closet, which is actually a cupboard. It is only available when Grandma says it is available, which is usually for an hour or two each afternoon when they are here. I have all kinds of learning projects in there. I also have different craft materials. There are special books which I check out from the library when I know they're coming. I also have a drawer just below the closet, which is just the height for a 2-year-old. It is the closet for anyone under 3. It has lots of small toys, balls, puzzles, and so forth to be used while the older children use what's in the cupboard. That's how I do it. My daughter Jody was doing some work with a friend. She spent the whole day there. She noticed that they had a closet. She observed the children using it on and off all day long. Towards the end of the day, just before she left, she asked her friend how the closet was working. "It isn't," her friend replied. "When it's time for school, I open the closet and ask the kids what they want to do. No one wants to do anything." I ask you, would you want to? They were just in it all day long the day before. Where's the excitement? Where is the anticipation? This is the consequence of breaking Rule 3. I had one family whose dad worked at home, so he had been able to observe how the closet worked with his children. Mark commented, "It's like Christmas. The excitement stays because it isn't available all the time. It's amazing." This comment was made after a couple of months of using the closet. This principle applies in life in general, as do all these principles. Think about those activities in your family that bring the most excitement and enthusiasm from your children. A reunion, a trip to get ice cream, a date with Dad, one-on-one time with a parent, a trip to Grandma's, going to a movie, a family night activity. They are anticipated and really looked forward to because they don't happen every day, all day. The sad part about these special events is it is difficult for children to count on them because parents are so inconsistent. So structure time, be consistent, be present, and make it special. Let's review what we've learned about making it special. When the closet is used for anything but structured family learning time, it ceases to have that Christmas magic feeling. Children have other toys and supplies in other parts of the home to engage with when the closet isn't available. This idea of making things special applies to life. When you want to have a planning meeting with your spouse and they are less than thrilled, come bearing cocoa. Make it special. When you want your children to clean their room, let everyone know there is ice cream in the kitchen afterward. Make it special. Rule 4. Keep it simple. When you add an item, remove an item. When I talk with parents about their use of a learning space of any kind, one thing that repeatedly pops up is the difficulty in keeping order. Boy, I sure know about that. Although I had no name for it, I have used a system like the closet on and off for almost 40 years. Sometimes it was just wonderful, and other times it was such a mess that I just wanted to throw it all out. Looking back, I began to wonder what caused the mess and chaos, and how could a space be kept fairly manageable all the time so that it is usable for children? We've touched on that in our session on being present. When a parent is present, they can help maintain order. However, children aren't usually the culprits when the closet is a mess. The parents are. Chaos happens when the closet is too full, when we have too much stuff and a parent is not present. I want you to remember that inspiring children isn't about quantity. It is all about the quality of our interaction and relationships with them. That being said, let's look at some specifics of Rule 4. You are free to fill your closet in any way that leaves everything visible and easy to reach and put away. When you have reached that point, stop. After that, if you add a new item, you need to remove an item. Look at the contents. Is there any item that hasn't been used for a while? If so, remove it. You can put it back into general circulation in your children's playroom for everyone to use, or you can store it away in a box to be used in the closet again later. You will find it interesting that when an item is placed in the closet, it takes on a new vitality for children, regardless of how long the item has been around. So you can put things in, take them out, and put them in again. Take books on your library shelves, for example. There are probably books that rarely get read. When you put them in the closet, your children will most likely read them or want you to read them. After a week or so, take one or two out and replace them with one or two more. Sometimes you'll put some really great materials in the closet that you just know your kids are going to love, and then they don't love it. They don't even ask about it. That is okay. Get your ego out of the way. Just take it out after a week or two and save it for another time. You want to make sure that you do not overload your closet. No one will engage in chaos. It is helpful to reevaluate the contents of your closet on a regular basis, about every 6 months. Are there any toys that your smaller children have outgrown? Are there games that are not being used, curriculum that is completed, odds and ends that are taking up space, cool stuff like sewing supplies or leatherworking materials that have just lost their luster for your kids? Then purge them. Take them out. Replace them. Nothing in the closet is permanent. It is a constantly changing space. Don't think that you can fill it all up and then leave it static for months. It just doesn't work that way. I recently purged my closet. I took practically everything out. There is hardly anything left, in fact. There are the materials and books on rocks that my grandchildren have been studying. There are some craft supplies that are new and deal with the upcoming holiday. I left the magnets in because the children are still very interested in them. When they are here next, I will add some information, books, and supplies for the Lewis and Clark expedition, which we've been talking about. Remember, keep it simple, colorful, and interesting. Keeping it simple applies to life. All of our lives would work far better if when our schedule was full, we would just stop. Then if we added something new, we took something out. How does your current schedule look? Do you and your children spend all day in the car moving from one commitment to another? Are you so busy serving in the community or church or your work that your family gets the leftovers of your time? Is there time for play, rest, just sitting and thinking for every member of the family? Is there time to be home as a family, modeling your core values, showing your children how to work, love, and have joy? Have you made the tough choices between what is good and what is best for you and your family? Let's review what we've learned about keeping it simple. Don't overfill your closet. Reevaluate the contents regularly. Have a 6-month purge. Don't rely on closet content. There is no substitute for being present and having a good relationship with your child. I highly recommend that you visit leadershipeducationfamilybuilder.com and listen to their free class called Relationship Job 1. And finally, keeping it simple applies to life. It is a principle. Now to Rule 5. Regular planning. I have to tell you, I loved this next letter because it rings so true and it was so funny. I let a few of my friends read it and we all agreed this mother should become a writer. Let me share it with you. The rule of engagement that makes me cringe is regular preparation. When I think about preparing for anything, I feel anxiety. My experiences with different preparation activities are riddled with frustration and interruption. Having a large family multiplies the potential and real distractions to carrying anything to completion. Meal preparation generally includes a host of interruptions and ultimately failed recipes. Things burn, things melt, things don't get finished. When I find some quiet time for lesson preparation or quiet study and succeed in following a thought through to the end, I emerged to find the house destroyed and a number of children roaming around in various stages of undress and degree of soiling. In the time I've invested in this brief paragraph, I've filtered 5 interruptions. Only one was a screaming, urgent one, but each required me to stop to deflect, softly remind that I am in my office working. Then I searched through my short-term memory. What was I thinking about? Does this happen to you? When I mention regular planning, many parents have a hard time breathing. I know what that feels like. I know how crazy life can be. I had 7 children. Janet, our letter writer, was taking a class from me and the next day said this, "I appreciated your addressing my hang-up with preparation. I felt much relieved and empowered after our class last night. Thanks for helping me see through another set of eyes." I want to help the rest of you who feel like Janet to see through another set of eyes. Jody Palmer, who has 3 small, active children, said, "When we start the day, it is what it is, and there isn't time to create anything. It's busy." She knows that planning ahead is crucial to success. So when can a busy mom and dad do all this planning? One of my students said, "It's easy for you. You can just sit here and rattle off tons of ideas. I can't do that." My answer was, "It isn't a gift. And yes, you can." So here is how I plan and get all of my ideas for the closet contents, as well as oodles of activities to go with whatever I put into the closet. Now listen carefully. I don't want you to miss this. I think about it all the time. Yep, that's how I do it. I think about inspiring children all the time. I think about it when I'm doing dishes, vacuuming, shopping, going to the bathroom, and especially just after I go to bed. I think about what I saw today, what conversations I heard and participated in, what was on the news, what did I remember from the past, and so on and on. If any of those things was interesting and has the possibility of inspiring a child, I latch onto it. I begin planning in my head. How can I use this to inspire my child? I think about it all day on and off. Soon ideas start coming. Hey, I could put that in the closet. Gee, that would be a fun activity. You know, that could lead to a familiar conversation. Whenever I have an idea, a thought, or a moment of inspiration, I write it down in my closet journal. It is a principle that whatever we focus on, we get more of. So I focus quite a bit on inspiring children because that's what I want to do. Consequently, I couldn't possibly use all the ideas and good content that come to me. There's just too much. No mom or dad has time for much quiet contemplation. One is busy going to work, and many of the others are busy kissing owies, sweeping up broken glass, changing poopy diapers, yelling at the dog. Well, you know how it is. So I'm not suggesting that you sit down and plan. I don't want you to take a fresh piece of paper out and pour your heart and soul into figuring out what to do to inspire your kids while they run rampant in your just cleaned living room. That would be crazy. I'm asking you to think. That's all. Just think. Open your mind to inspiration, and inspiration will come. It has to. It's a principle. What you focus on, you get more of. It will be relieving to you to know that to keep your closet going and inspiration flowing, you only need one good thought each week. And with regular practice and planning, one good thought can carry you along for months. I want you to remember that I laughingly say that your planning session with your spouse is the first 30 minutes after you go to bed on Thursday night. That's when you ask each other, "Did anybody say anything interesting today? Do you think Charlie's really interested in how electricity works? How can we turn Angie's penchant for mud into an inspiration for learning?" Talk to each other. Use your journal to make notes on your mutual ideas and thoughts. Both Oliver DeMille and Stephen Covey recommend planning once a week, and so do I. It's not too much time, and it's not too little. Every day is hard to maintain, and monthly is usually just not enough. Regular planning applies to life. It's a principle. Doesn't everything go better when you plan ahead? Your week, your day, the family vacation, the evening meal? When we don't plan, we find ourselves rushing around like chickens without a head. We miss out on important moments. We find that things we wanted to do, have, or be are missing. Planning smooths out life. It frees up our mind to see and respond. Let's review what we've learned about regular planning. Think about what you want. Think about your children. Think about inspiration. Think, think, think. Capture your ideas on paper so you won't forget them. Follow up on your thoughts and plan how to use them. Talk with your spouse about your children, their likes, their interests, and comments. Weekly planning works best. Pick a time and be consistent. For those who would really like to become planning experts, refer to the section on the Executive Council meeting in Oliver and Rachel DeMille's book, Leadership Education, The Phases. Life, to be successful, requires regular planning. It is a principle. Before moving on to Lesson 4, complete the thinking exercises and the to-do list in the workbook for this lesson.